Right. So we were in the middle of discussing the Mesulakas Damim, and we were almost done with Mu'uberes. I had the zchus of driving Rav Shechter last night, not a very long ride, but just from here to home, to his home, and I got to ask him a couple of quick things. So one of the things that I asked him was what he held in terms of Vestos with birth control pills. And he agreed with the Mahalich that once, that it's 48 hours after the last pill, that would have a status of a Vesed Kavua. So just Agav, I thought I'd mention that. I also happened to have been listening to Rav Willig on the way in to Yeshiva this morning. I did not chop him today. I wanted to ask him a bunch of questions, but I listened to him on the way to Yeshiva this morning. And he mentioned this machlokas between Rav Moshe and Rav Vazner that we spoke about yesterday, about the first three months of pregnancy and whether you have to be choshesh for vestos anymore. Do we follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch? Or do we follow the reality that women are mislakas damim? But the way he said it over was, it's a machlokas between Rav Moshe and every other posek. And Rav Moshe is a real das yachid on this. And therefore, the halacha really is that you have to be choshesh for vestos in the first 3 months of pregnancy. He said, and then Rav Willig Kedarko said, look, I'm a big makil. I don't like to be machmir. But since anyway, there's no nafkamina in this whole machlokas anyway, because a woman doesn't realize she's pregnant until all the vestos passed anyhow, and at worst, maybe she'll discover she's pregnant before one of the vestos. She'll have 9 months of not seeing any dam. So let her be choshesh for one vesed. He thinks that that's a worthwhile thing to be machmir about, considering that, in his view, Rav Moshe is a complete das yachid, that there's no one that really paskins like Rav Moshe. Okay, so I thought that was interesting also. That was not my inclination. What if she actually bleeds during pregnancy? Again, finishing up the mu'uberes. What if she actually bleeds during pregnancy? So Shulchan Aruch and Siflam Gimel says, Eino kava'as veses. Pisrei Tshuva and Sifkat and Lamed, at the end of Sifkat and Lamed, the Pisrei Tshuva writes that we would assume kvias veses lekula, meaning that it could be that she is kvias veses, but only lekula, which is unbelievable. Normally we go the other way. We say if we're not sure about something, we go lechumra in both directions. Pisrei Tshuva is saying if she sees three times bimei ibura, she no longer has to worry about a veses she'ena kavua, just this veses. The Shach in Ayin Gimel explains why we paskin this way. It's a fascinating Shach in terms of Derech HaPsach. It's kedai to see this Shach. He talks about why we paskin this way, considering that there's a Ramban that goes against this. Meaning, again, what do we say? In Shulchan Aruch we say, Eino kova'as veses. A woman cannot be kova'a veses v'imei ibura. Ramban says, sure she can. Yes, she can be kova'a veses v'imei ibura. So why would we paskin against the Ramban? So he says, well, the only reason the Tur quoted the Ramban and seemed to paskin like the Ramban is because the Tur never saw the Rashba. He never saw the Torah Sabayis Aruch. He saw the Torah Sabayis HaKatzer, never saw the Torah Sabayis Aruch. He never saw this Rashba. Generally, we paskin like a later authority, in this case, the Tur. But when he didn't see the earlier one, in this case, the Rashba, we don't paskin like the later one. So generally, we paskin like the Torah against the Rashba, but not if the Torah didn't see the Rashba. What's the logic of that? So we have a concept of Hilchos Kabbasrei, and Hilchos Kabbasrei assumes the theory of midgets standing on the shoulders of giants. Little people standing on the shoulders of giants, right? You got to say the right thing. So that's the idea that the previous generations got here. I'm standing on their shoulders, and I know where they got, but I could reach a little higher, right? That I know exactly what they said. I take all their arguments into account, and then I apply my own intellect and my own learning to be able to arrive at a conclusion. That's generally Hilchos Kabbasrei. But if they never saw the Divrei Hakadmonim, says the Shach, then you would not say Hilchos Kabbasrei, right? If they never saw the earlier generations, so then they're just, then it's just a little person fighting a giant. He's going to lose, right? The giant is obviously much, much greater. So that's what the Shach writes. Nevertheless, Shulchan Aruch says, Choseshes l'ri'iya shetira k'derech shechoseshes l'veses she'eno kavua. Meaning, she cannot be kovea veses, but you still treat it like a veses she'eno kavua. And the Taz in Sivkat Memches explains that in this way she's more chamur than a zakeina. These categories, these four categories of Mesulakas Damim, as I think I pointed out yesterday, are really two categories. There's Mu'baris Meinakas, and there's Besula Zakeinu. So in this way, she's more chamer than a Zakeinu. A Zakeinu would not have to be Choshashas for Vesheina Kavua, because we assume that a Zakeinu is totally Mesulakas Damim. Whereas a Mu'baris has Dam, but it's being held back by the Uba. That's the Lashon that the Taz uses. Unclear what that means in terms of Mitzios. Is that true that she has dam that's being held back by the Uber? It doesn't seem that that's the case. In fact, the whole idea, that one of the things I wanted to chap Rabbi Willig about is what we discussed yesterday, the whole idea about pregnant women bleeding and the assumption in Shulchan Aruch being that a pregnant woman can become a Nida seems to be incompatible with the reality. Right, meaning based on what I read to you yesterday from my old friend Dr. Markovitz, it seems that whatever the possibilities of blood during pregnancy are, they're usually a makkah. I asked Shachter about it last night. I don't know what was going through his head. He didn't really give me much. He just said, "Yeah, women used to bleed all the time during pregnancy in the old days." Right? Okay, but he didn't tell me like. I couldn't push him too much. He wasn't, he wasn't committing one way or the other in terms of what that means for us. I would imagine he'd want to speak to a doctor firsthand. Yeah.
Is the Taz explaining, I guess, this cryptic end of Siflam and Gimel by saying it's really just meant to differentiate between Mu'baris and Zakeinu, and that's because otherwise, like, how do we deal with that in Chosheshah? Like, it doesn't really make any sense. It contradicts the entire rest of the Sif if we're not. If we're Chosheshet at all. The whole point is that she's not Chosheshet for that period of time.
Right, so we're saying that as a Vesheinu Kavua, she is. I mean, as a Vesheinu Kavua, she is Chosheshet. Right? And that way, yeah, the Taz saying, in that way, different than a Zakeinu, where you don't even, you could ignore it by a Zakeinu. You could assume it was a Mikre. It was just...
But isn't a woman's always Chosheshet for her in a Kavua? So what makes
it... Well, not when she's Mesulak has done it. Right, meaning if a zakeinu sees dam, we'll get to it. We didn't discuss zakeinu yet, but not when she's mislek as damim. Rav Willig said in that shir, he said that there was a line in Shulchan Aruch where he says mikra bi'alma, right? So he said that someone once called him with a shaila, young avreich of our yeshiva called him with a shaila and said that I'm pretty sure I know what to paskin here, that this woman is tahora. I just want to double check. Rav Willig said tahora. Mikra bi'alma doesn't mean that she's tahora. What does mikra bi'alma mean? That it's not part of a pattern, that there's no veses. But of course she's tamea. He said, Baruch Hashem, the guy called, saved in Isser Karetz. So a person has to know how to read the Shulchan Aruch. Right, so that's where the... amazing. So that's one point that the Taz made. Pischi Tshuv and Sifkan Lamed Aleph at the beginning of Sifkan Lamed Aleph says it she doesn't have to be Choshashes for onabeninus, because even an Isha Sheyesh Leveses who bleeds off cycle doesn't have to be Choshesh for onabeninus, and this is even stronger than that. I mean, Isha Sheyesh Leveses, you're not going to expect her to go off cycle. So over here, this is a woman, you're not going to expect her to bleed at all. So presumably he means V'chili Olam Lotira is not an issue. Because of V'chili Olam Lotira? Yeah, the Olam Lotira. We don't expect her to see more dam. Rav Vosner in Shir Shevet Halevi says that Bizman HaZeh is not true anymore, at least for nursing women who very often bleed. And he suggests that they should be Choshashas Leona Beninus, but even Rav Vosner is makel for pregnant women. And he says this is where the nursing woman and the pregnant woman diverge from each other, even though Rav Vosner thinks he keep the din of the Gemara, but he doesn't ignore the he does not ignore the reality in total. And the reality is that pregnant women don't bleed and that nursing women do bleed. And therefore, as far as being observing non abatedness, when she happens to have a re'iyah, Rav Vosner says, kedai to be machmir for nursing women, because most likely she actually is starting her cycle up again. Kedai and we can be makel for pregnant women because most likely it was mikra bi'alma and it's not going to happen again. The Plesi and also the Torah Hashlamim, Plesi in Kuf Pei Tes Lamed Aleph and Torah Hashlamim Kuf Pei Dalet Tes Zayin, Kuf Pei Dalet Tes Zayin disagree with this entirely. Hold that a pregnant woman is not chosheshes for a ves shein kavua at all. So Rabbi 4 says she should be chosheshes, but she doesn't have to keep the arzurah. Okay. the kula. She doesn't have to keep the arzurua on when she keeps the onabeninus for dam during pregnancy. All right, that's mubaris. What about meinekes? So Shulchan Aruch Siflam Gimel defines meinekes as the 24 months following childbirth. And it works with the assumption that it's not the actual nursing, but it's the trauma of childbirth that makes her stop seeing. Right? There's two deos in the Gemara, whether it's a result of the trauma of childbirth or whether it's dam nechar v'nas l'chalav, that the blood just turns into milk, and therefore, as long as she's actually nursing, she's not going to be able to see dam. This is nogea. Rabbi Willig holds that for nursing women, nursing women don't fast, the minor fast generally, even though it's not so clinical. But nursing women generally don't fast, the minor fast. So Rabbi Willig holds 24 months. 24 months after having a baby, regardless whether you're nursing or not, not to fast the minor fast, other than Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. In Yerushalayim, that's the minhag also. In Eretz Yisrael in general, they're much more makel about fasting for women, especially of childbearing age, because they feel that they need all their kochos for carrying babies and delivering them. So they're generally more makel about fasting. When we first started my shul 15 years ago, some of the first families in the shul had started their married lives in Riverdale in the apartments and then moved to North Woodmere. So the shaila, one woman called me once with a shaila on behalf of her and three of her friends. If I already asked Rabbi Willig, do I have to fast within 24 months of having a baby, even though I stopped nursing after 6 months? Do I have to ask you now? So if it was Rabbi Willig, you don't have to ask again. So that's even though it's a big chiddush, to assume that she doesn't have to. Anyway, so going back to the Meineka story. So the Gemara in Daf Tes is based on Gemara in Daf Tes. The Gemara tells us, Tan Rabba Menika Shemes Binah B'Toch Chavtal Chodesh. What if a woman is nursing and her child dies within 24 months? One of the tshuvas from the Adnei Paz, I saw quoted, says that the Gemara specifically chooses the case of the child dying and not a case of weaning the child, because you're not supposed to wean before 24 months. That's why he brings a raya, that you should nurse the kid for 24 months. I don't think we hold that way. So he says, the child, so the Gemara would rather talk about the child dying. The child dies 24 months. Harehi kekol anashim. She's like anybody else. Metamim meisleis, she's even metamim mafreya. Lefichach, imshasim, and ikaso dalero heishanim, dayashaita. And therefore, if she continues to nurse for 4 or 5 years, sukkim subas, how much is indecent to keep nursing? At what point you're supposed to stop? But if a woman nurses 4 or 5 years, dayashaita divrei meir. Rameir shita is, it all depends on, is she nursing or is she not nursing? That's how we define menakas. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, dayan shaitan kol chaf dalid chodesh. They know, 24 months no matter what. And therefore, im haisa menikaso dalet veheishanim mitam eses mefkida lefkida. If she continues to nurse 4 or 5 years, doesn't matter. After 24 months, I don't care that you're still nursing, your body has recovered, and therefore, you're no longer a menekes. Both the Rashba in the Torah Sabayis and the Rambam hold like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, that it depends on the 24 months, not on whether you're actually nursing. Now, childbirth, l'chora, includes C-section and miscarriage also. Pesachei Tshuvin Sivkan Laman quotes the Plesi that it even includes miscarriage, and he quotes from the Chavis Das, which, by the way, before we get to the Chavis, it makes sense that it will include miscarriage. Right? Why would it make sense that it include miscarriage? What other halachic ramifications are there to childbirth? To Mantara, right? So she has Tumas Yoledes after childbirth. Right, so it would make sense that would count. But the chiddush is what Chavis Das says. Chavis Das says he pila ruach, and even if she was not pila ruach, but they call a chemical pregnancy, where she didn't really have a baby in there, which would not give her tumas yoledes. Even that she gets 24 months. So apparently indicating that it has nothing to do with tumas leida, it's just that evara and misparkim, and apparently that causes trauma to the system, and it takes time. I think Rav Shechter in that family planning article that he wrote, and Jakey, you sent it out, so thank you again. So I think he writes there that the practice used to be in Europe, that I did not read it again now, so I don't know if anyone did read it, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he says the practice used to be in Europe that they would space children 2 years, because they assumed that it took 24 months for her body to fully recover before having another baby. Oh yeah, okay. So he said that that people say it was true, and Rav Moshe said it was true. Okay, interesting. I asked Rav Shachter once. I think he assumed that it takes a year for the body to. I mean, this was going back 20 years, however old my oldest son is. But I think that he assumed that it takes like a year for the body to recover. But you know, you have to play. You know, see what the doctor says, and see if the doctor says that you're totally recovered and you're totally fine. Obviously, different women have different recovery times. Yeah. It's not really a perfect birth control,
right,
to keep nursing. She might become pregnant anyhow, even
so
if she's
like a natural health thing, apparently.
That's what Black says. Okay, he knows stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the World Health Organization recommends waiting a year, like Rav Moshe.
Yeah, okay. All right, so that makes sense too. Rav Moshe used to have the minhag that when he would give heterim for birth control, we should probably have a different share on that if we ever finish Hilchos Nita, just like about spacing children and things like that. So that's very okay. You get, if you're ever the rabbi of a young community, you know, that becomes like a major shaila. You know, not everyone knows that they could just go to certain people and get whatever heter they want. You know, some will go to their local rabbi and will actually, you know, want to talk about it. So that's probably because I didn't talk about it. Moshe used to have the minhag that he would give heterim for 6 months at a time. I think that's a very healthy thing. Meaning, even if he felt that they were going to be that they were going to be going a year or two without having children justifiably, he would still require another conversation 6 months later, because things change. I can't tell you how many times I met with a couple and said, 6 months, we'll talk again, and they never came back because she was already pregnant. Meaning the fact that there was another conversation on the horizon caused them to reassess their situation and say, well, wait a second, can we really not handle it? And through reassessing the situation, they came to the realization that they were able to handle it. I never, you know, yeah, it's very rare that you tell someone who really believes that they can't handle it, You must, Rabbi Willig does, but like, I don't know, but that you must have a child. And the only time I ever did that was when the couple was asking for a heter for birth control and a heter to neuter a pet, a dog, at the same time. I'm like, instead of a dog, a kid. Have a kid instead of a dog. and they did. They had a child, and they thanked me for it afterwards. They said that their older children loved the baby so much more than they would have loved the dog. It was I assume they'll be sending me their tuition bills also, but that's that was the only time I recall like really coming down hard on someone.
So the 2 years, is that to like healthy enough to give birth or to like become pregnant?
Yeah. So I think the practice used to be to become pregnant, you know, because a pregnancy takes a toll on the body, which is a lot of spacing, meaning between children. That's a major spacing.
What he said in the minute in Europe, it was really like the children was really, you know, closer to
3 years. Yeah, closer to 3 years, it would seem. Yeah, which, I don't know, intuitively it doesn't seem that that was the case, right? I don't know. And it doesn't seem, it's hard to compare modern health to what things used to be, but it doesn't seem that a woman required 2 years to recover anymore anyway. Rav Shechter, even, I think we've mentioned this, that even after Yoledes, you know, we assume for the first 72 hours she's not allowed to fast on Yom Kippur, that it's Asr, Mishum Sakana. He assumes that's no longer correct. So what are you talking about? They release her from the hospital 12 hours later, she's at the gym at her spin class, you know, 36 hours later, and you say she's a Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana and she's not able to. So he didn't say all those words. I added a few extra, you know, color commentary in there, but I mean, that's his taina. Okay, now, so what were we saying? Yeah, so the Gemara is this machlokes, and the Chavzal, even the Hipila Ruach, it's against the Shiari Tara, which is quoted in the Shevet HaLevi, who's Medaik, that Shulchan Aruch says, Afilu Meis Havlad, implying that the heter only works if she actually began nursing. Wow, that's a huge chumrah. that the heter only works if she began nursing. She doesn't have to keep on nursing, but she has to have nursed at some point. Which would mean that if a woman just goes straight to formula and never nurses, she wouldn't have this whole status. I think we generally assume not that way. So all of the halachas of Mubaris and Menekes are parallel as far as halacha is concerned. You know, in the Chasam Sofer al Hashas, he says that this machlokas tanaim that we're talking about, whether it's Evra and Sparkim, or whether it's Dam Nechar V'Nasa Chalav, is a machlokas of Metzius, whether Dam Nechar V'Nasa Chalav or not. And he questions, since it's machlokas Metzius, why can't we just test it by seeing what happens when a woman nurses for more than 24 months? And let's see if she bleeds. So he says that it's rare for someone to nurse for longer than 24 months unless the baby is sick, and therefore you can't ever get an accurate study because there will always be a yotzei min haklal. That's what Chasam Sofer says. And he says, also, why don't we check with non-Jews? Non-Jews must nurse for 24 months. There must be a significant number of those. So you know what the Chasam Sofer is going to say about that. Right? Non-Jewish bodies are different than Jewish bodies, and therefore you can't tell anything. The idea of Dam Nechar V'Nasa Chalav is quoted in the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shavuos. Right, in some Tav Tzadi Dalid. Why? Because he's explaining. What's he explaining? The Minakti Milchik Zan Shavuos. So the Rama says it's a zecher to the Shtei Alechet. Milchik Zan Shavuos because it's Alech in Yeridaya that you're not allowed to have the same loaf of bread at a Milchik meal and at a Fleishik meal. So in order to require yourself two separate sets of bread, you should have a Fleishik meal and a Milchik meal. Or better put, a milchig meal and a fleishig meal, and that way you'll have two sets of bread because you can't have the same loaves of bread at both tables, and that's a zecher to the korban, to the shtei alechem. But the Magen Avraham says different. The Magen Avraham says that based on the Zohar, that the entire sphere period is like a giant shivanakiyim for Klal Yisrael. And we want to show that we've achieved Shiva Nakim, we've achieved these seven clean days, weeks of purity, and that we have achieved the ultimate impurity. What's the ultimate impurity? When a woman is nursing, where she's Mesulekas Damin, because all the Dam is Nechar V'Nasa Chalav. What used to be the source of impurity is now we only have reservoirs of purity, which is symbolized by the Chalav. And that's what the Magen Avraham says. That's why we have a minute to eat Milchik and Shavuos. So what's the problem with that Magen Avraham? Is that we don't pass in Dam Nechar V'Nasa Chalav, we pass in Evra and Sparkim. Okay, but it's a Zohar. So, you know, that's at least a bit, you know, it exists, the idea exists, and that's a basis for the minhag. But it's just interesting that we don't pass in that way. It's also, this whole idea of Menekes is difficult to apply to our reality, as we said. Women start bleeding, even if they are nursing, within 24 months, if they're not nursing, within weeks, very often. So, even though we pass in against the Ramban, who says that you can't be koveya vesas during... The Ramban says you can be koveya vesas during pregnancy and nursing, right? So we paskin against that Ramban. The Shulchan Aruch says, no, you can't be koveya vesas during pregnancy. The Chasam Sofer in a tshuva in Yerodea Kuf Samach Dalid says that if the woman is not actually nursing and she's only within 24 months of childbirth, we would hold like the Ramban. Meaning, given the reality... Bitsiruf with the idea that a woman who's not nursing is very, very likely to start seeing Dam, we would say that she could even be Koveya Vesas. We would hold like the Ramban, which is very mistaver, because she is likely just going back to her regular cycle, so it's very mistaver that she's establishing a Vesas Kavua. Rav Moshe in Yerodei Chelik Gimel Simin Nun Beis and Chelik Dalet Simin Yud Zayin Os Beis says that once she actually bleeds, all Vesas rules come back, regardless of whether she's actually nursing. We have to acknowledge in Shtar Nativim, this is Rav Moshe, L'shitasa. Rav Moshe is paskening not like what it says in Shulchan Aruch, but like what the reality tells us. Bein b'mu'uberes, bein b'meinekes. So by mu'uberes, she will not be able to establish vesas even in the first 3 months, because she's totally mislaik with them. She doesn't have any halachos of a regular woman. She's a Mesulekas Damim, even in the first 3 months, against Shulchan Aruch, because that's the reality. And by Menekes, whenever she starts bleeding, we know that that's when she's going back to regular life. Now, if she had a previous Vesas Kavua, and then didn't bleed during pregnancy, even during the first 3 months, let's say, right, because that's most normal, didn't bleed at all during pregnancy, and now during the 24 months after childbirth, goes three cycles during the 24 months of Menekes, not following the Vesas Kavua, meaning she bleeds, but not following the Vesas Kavua, three times. then l'chora l'kulei alma she's uprooted her ves kavua. Meaning you can't uproot her ves kavua during Yimei Ibura or Yimei Yinika. Why? Because she's a Maslachas Damim. But if you're someone who holds that we follow the reality, so then when a Meinekes starts bleeding again, she can uproot the ves kavua. She's a regular woman again. If you're someone who holds that we don't follow the reality, we follow the halacha, so first 3 months of pregnancy, she didn't bleed. That should uproot the veses, the ves kavua. Manav shalcha should uproot the ves kavua. At least when it comes to ves hachodesh. Ves haflaga, the manav shalcha doesn't work. Why not? Because not bleeding the first 3 months of pregnancy was not many haflagas. It was just one big haflaga. Right? So for the ves haflaga, that probably that cheshbin doesn't work. The Shulchan Aruch in the very end of the siman tells us that after the pregnancy, chozros lachush leveses harishon. Pischichuva kotzin adibuda, that's only for ves kavua, but any outstanding ves sheina kavua you could ignore by now. Meaning the last Yom HaChodesh she had before she got pregnant was on the 17th day of the month, and now it's almost 3 years later, 9 months of pregnancy and 24 months of nursing later, and she wants to know when she should be Chodesh, not the 17th of the month. You don't have to worry about that. Wait till she gets her period, and then go from there. But Ves Sheina Kavua would go away. Okay, that's as far as a Meinekes is concerned. Now let's get into a Besula's damim. You know, it's the term besula in this context doesn't mean what it normally means, right? Besula obviously normally means a woman who's never seen dam before, but over here it normally means a woman who's never had dia before. Over here, obviously, it means a woman who's never seen dam before. So the Gemara Daf Tesem base tells us tinoke shelo yigias manaliros verasa pam rishonu shnia dayashaita. First two times, a girl who's too young to be getting her period gets her period. She's dayashaita. She's only tami mikana laba. Pam shlishis hare kikola nashu mitam meiseis mufkidu lufkidu. But if she bleeds three times, now she's tami lemafreya. Avrola gimel onos verasa. If three onos pass and she doesn't see dam, then she sees dam after that, dayashaita. It's like she's starting fresh again. Va'odu avrola gimel onos verasa. If another three onos pass and she sees dam again, dayashaita. Now she has ves kavua for 90 days of haflagos. So the Gemara defines what is loigiyas manaliros. It means loigiyali mehanu urim, and that's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch. Loigiyali mehanu urim means she's not yet 12, right? She's not yet halachically a nara. So even though the whole brisa has nothing to do with vestos, right? The whole brisa is all about tumah l'mafreya, tumah mikana laba, says the Rashba, it applies to vestos as well, and that's what we do in Shulchan Aruch. So the rules that emerge from this is that, detailed in Siv Chav Zayin, she's never subject to a ves sheina kavua, even if she sees dam once or twice, meaning there's no such thing as ves sheina kavua for a besula, for a katana. When she establishes a Veses Kavua, if she passes three Onos, which the Gemara says is three times 30 days, right? That's Tesam Beis, Kama Ona is 30 days. If she goes three Onos without getting her period, her Veses is uprooted. And the Shach and Sifkat Samachay explains that it's not a regular Akiris HaVest, meaning a normal Akiris HaVest means that she's changing her pattern. This is not that. What's this? It's just a seal of damim. She's not bleeding anymore because she's not meant to bleed. So regular akiras haves would require three times of whatever her haflaga is. So if lamashal her haflaga was 35 days, she would need to go three times 35 days maybe without seeing dam. This is an indication that chazra lekadmusa, that she went back to being a normal little girl, and whatever she saw before was mikra bialma, not that she wasn't tameh, but that it was mikra bialma. Someone told me, did I tell you guys this? Someone told me that he was changing his daughter's diaper once. I told you? And he saw blood. Did I tell you the end of the story? He asked Rabbi Belsky. Yeah? Rabbi Belsky said that, Rabbi Belsky said, your wife is nursing? So he said, yeah. So he said, oh, then it's easy to explain. It's the hormones from the milk. So there's a Dam Nechav Nasa Chalav application, that the hormones from the milk are likely to come out as blood in the child's... And I know, Rabbi Belsky must have been a unique resource to have. Because, like, you could literally ask about anything. And it's like Google without all the garbage, you know? Like, he's already narrowed it down to only what's actually true.
Well, what was the shayla?
No, he thought there must be some halacha about it. So Rabbi Belsky says, oh, it's a Mishnah Nida, but, you know, probably this doesn't apply because it's not really her becoming a Nida. You know, so so I was thinking, what would the shayla be? Here's what I thought of. There are those who are makbid that a nida doesn't touch a sefer Torah. So if you bring a little girl to shul that to come kiss the Torah, so that would be the nafkamina. The Rama in Siman Kuf Mem Tes says that they bring kid, that it's a proper minute to bring children to kiss the sefer Torah in order to be mizaris them for chashivas haTorah. And the Rama in Siman Peches says yesha kasfu that a nida be may re'iyasa should not come to shul, should not daven, should not be masker Shem Hashem, and not touch a Sefer Torah. But then he says, but it's all mutter. Then he says, yeah, Hamina Kisvar Arishona. So he yo-yos a little bit on this, right? So the Mishnah Berurah says, we'll split the difference. The minhag is to be makel about coming to shul, but still don't touch the Torah. Right, that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. So there are certain shuls where they'll pass the Torah around the women's section. So one of the objections is against the Mishnah Berurah. I mean, it's against the Ramah also, but the whole, we don't tell women not to come to shul when they're in Nida. That would be against the Ramah also. But at least against the Mishnah Berurah in terms of what the Mishnah Berurah's machria, that they shouldn't touch the Sefer Torah unless you give specific instructions, when you're passing it through the women's section. Can we have a non-menstruating woman, please? That could be low na'im.
While the
ri'i
is happening, but not if she...
Right, it's dafka bizman ri'iyasa. Right, it's not just when she has tumas nida. Yeah, so that's the best I can come up with, an afkamina for a kid becoming a nida. I couldn't think of anything that's halacha l'maisa. And, if it's any indication, there's no pische tshuva on sifchav zayin, because there's nothing to talk about. Last issue is a zakena. Right, a zakena. The Mishnah Nida, Tav Zayin Amar Alav, tells us: Ezu zakena, kol sha'avrala gimel onos samuch l'ziknasa. Three onos pass, and she's an older person. And the Gemara Daf Tes explains: Ezu samuch l'ziknasa. What does it mean that she's an older person? Some review the kol sha'chavroseha omros aleha zakena hi. When her friends are talking about her, like, oh, she's so old. Rabbi Shimon Omer kol sha'koron la'ima. The Eina Bosha, that if people call her Ima and she doesn't get embarrassed by that nickname, meaning not her children, other people. The Ram Pirushim Shnayis says, based on a medrash, that Ima is a title, meaning like you have in the Gemara, you have Abba, right? No Amoraim ever have two names, right? There's no Moshe Tzvi, or I don't know why that name came to mind, or Aryeh Tzvi, for that matter. You don't have any Amoraim that have two names, or names after animals, for that matter, if you think about it, except for Yonah. That's the only one I think that would be. No, Amoraim don't really have... Am I wrong about that? Yeah, but I'm saying Amoraim that have names of animals. Yeah. No, I think it's an Ashkenazi thing also. I think Sephardim generally don't do that either. But... yeah, but all of a sudden you have Abba Shaul, Abba this, Abba that, Abba Chal. So what happened? Where did all the Abbas come from? So Abba is a title. So the Ram says it stands to reason probably Ima is a title also. So how does a woman achieve Chashiva? She can't get Smicha, she can't get... So what's Chashiva? She comes with old age. She becomes old enough that you call her Ima so-and-so. That's how the Ramam seems to understand. Some Rishonim have a gear say Ima, Ima. That it says it twice, which is either meant to convey another generation, meaning grandma, which obviously means she's a little bit older, that people call her grandma, or it's just for emphasis, ima, ima. Similar, you have a similar discussion in Sukkah Daf Chav Ches, right? How old a kid has to be chayv and chinuch of Sukkah. So he said that if he wakes up in the middle of the night and says ima, ima, so then he's pater. So that, right, that's what they're medayik. If he just wakes up in the middle of the night and says ima, so right, a teenager might do that. And he'll scream out ima, and then he'll look around. Oh my god, I hope no one heard me, and go back to sleep. But if he says ima, and then he's then again Ima, you know, because he's a little kid. So then he's a very young child. Such a child still is not yet at the age of chinuch. So anyway, so it says kolish karon lo ima ve'ina bosha. Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzchak, chad omer kol sheina bosha, chad omer kol sheina makpedes. That's two opinions within this second shita. Is it that she's not embarrassed, or that she's not going to put up a fuss? She's not going to say, "Stop calling me that." It gives her a little bit of embarrassment, but she knows why you're doing it, and therefore she's not going to argue about it. Sometimes a woman is embarrassed, but she just doesn't say anything about it. So there, we have, in the end of the day, three opinions of how old. Rav Yehuda says her friends call her old. One version of Rav Shimon, she doesn't get embarrassed when they call her ima. The second version of Rav Shimon, she's not makbid when they call her ima. How do we paskin? So Beis Yosef says we paskin like Rav Shimon, first of all, and then we'll get into which version of Rav Shimon soon, but we paskin like Rav Shimon, that it's not about what her friends call her. Why? So this is where it gets interesting. If you're interested in Klalei HaPsak, this is the fascinating discussion. That we always paskin like Rav Shimon says Beis Yosef against Rav Yehuda. And the Taz, in Sifkan Memhei, says, is that true? We always pass on Rabbi Shimon against Rabbi Yehuda? Umar and Erevin, Daf Mem Zayin, says, Halach Rabbi Yehuda gabi Rabbi Shimon. Meaning there is a klal about what to do when it's Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon. And the klal is the opposite. You're supposed to pass on like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Shimon. So that's a little bit strange, says the Taz. Beis Yosef himself even quotes that Umar and Erevin in Sim Kuf Yotes, says the Taz. So it's so weird that the Beis Yosef is going to say, oh, we have a klal in halacha that you pass on like Rabbi Shimon. He knows the klal from Erevin. Even if you want to say the Beis Yosef forgot a Gemara, you can't, because he quoted that very same Gemara. You can't anyway. Also, the Taz says that this entire discussion is a moot point, because this isn't Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon the Tanaim over here. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lai, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon ben Lakish, the Amoraim. So the whole thing is strange. The Yad Malachi even writes, "Dehi kishkaga yotzeis milfnei ashalit achar mechila." He says, obviously, the Beis Yosef just made a, this is like a stupid mistake, says the Yad Malachi. He messed up what's in Amora, what's a Tana. If it's really Reish Lakish, then the other opinion, probably, if it's Reish Yud, should probably not be Rav Yehuda, right? If it's really Reish Lakish, it should probably be Rabbi Yochanan, who lived in Eretz Yisrael like Reish Lakish and was his Rebbe. Rabbi Yehuda lived in Bavel, and so you might say, oh, maybe Rabbi Yehuda visited. Rabbi Yehuda's the Bal Memra, Brachos Tav Chav Dalit, Kalol Mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael over Basay. So probably he did not go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Mela, probably if it's Reish Lakish, it's Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. Beis Yosef goes on to say that anyway, we're going to pass on like Rabbi Shimon, because the Gemara has further discussion within Rabbi Shimon, and that's often an indicator. It's not like a checkmate. It's not like, you know, an absolute indicator, but it's, you know, it moves the needle a little bit on how to paskin. That if the Gemara says, for example, by imtim tzilomar, is a lot of times, the Gemara will say, is it A or is it B? And imtim tzilomar B, is it C or is it D? So one thing we know, we paskin like B. Why? Because it didn't say imtim tzilomar A, is it F or G, right? It just says imtim tzilomar B. So that's an indication that you paskin that way. So very often when the Gemara has further conversations within a particular shita, that's an indication that you're supposed to paskin like that shita. And the Taz also has, and Rava holds like Rabbi Shimon, so that's why we're going to paskin like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, but which version of Rabbi Shimon? So the Rashba in Taurus HaBayis and the Rambam in the ninth paragraph of Yisurah B'yah write, kol she'ena makpedes. Tosvos, Daf Tesam Veiz, Dibra Maschel Kol, quotes Yerushalmi, that asks on the sheet of Eina Busha and says, V'chi b'dayta taliyah davar? It's taliyah on her own sense of Busha? That's how we define a zakena? And the Yerushalmi answers that it means that she shouldn't be upset by it based on her age. That it doesn't make sense for her to be embarrassed by it based on her age. Shulchan Aruch, what does it say? It doesn't say Eina Makpedes, doesn't say Eina Busha, it says Eina Chosheshes. That's one way to, keep it vague. The Taz understands it means Eina Bosha. And Eina Chashash means she's not embarrassed by it. Eina Chashash means it doesn't bother her at all. Eina Chashash means it's just not a thing for her. It's not something that... But the Gra in Sifkan Mem Zayin disagrees. He says it makes sense that we would pass in Kedivrei HaMeikel because Vestos are Drabanan. So it's more Mestaver. Meaning, which one is more Machmir? So he says sometimes a woman will feel Busha but won't be Machmir. So it's more mistaver that we're going to be mekil, that the woman would not have to be choshish for a veset even at a younger age, right? When she would feel busha still, but not be makbid. So a couple of details about this halacha, and then we'll just say what we do l'maisa. The Shulchan Aruch in Sif Lamed Aleph says that a zakena is more chamer than a katana. Shulchan Aruch actually spells it out, in that if she goes back even once, the old vessus returns. Why? Because the whole idea of a zakena is we assume she's done. But once it comes back, we see, whoops, I guess she's not done. So now the vessus is going to return. By a katana, it's a mikra. How do we count the three onos? Shulchan Aruch writes, according to Chacham Tzvi. Meaning, if you had to have three, remember we said between my thumb and my pinky are 5 days, right? So if I were to have three onos, it should really be 87 days, because each time it counts double. Says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, says the Alter Rebbe, not so. 90 days. Now, it l'chora should not depend on how old she looks. There is a Medrash in Bereishis Rabba. I think it's this week's parsha, so it's worth mentioning. That Sarah was lo hiskina, she didn't appear old, and then on that line, the Medrash says Ezer hizikena, and goes into our whole spiel. It gives like at least it sounds like it's saying that it matters how she looks. To an extent, it does, because what do we say that people call her ima? So if she's old, if she looks old enough that people call her ima. Or Ima, whatever. Lamaisa. Menopause doesn't happen this way. The way menopause happens nowadays is that it's not like a sudden stop. It's slowing down, and it's an inconsistent slowing down. It could be she'll go 12 weeks, then 9 weeks, then 14 weeks. You know, it's just slowly. So Rabbi Forst quotes the Taras Yisrael that she should do B'dika before Tashmish until she goes 6 months without any Riyas Dam. Wow, it's quite a Chumrah, but meaning at least be choshish for non abeninus, I would say at least until she goes 6 months without a re-yes. Well, I guess no, non abeninus won't help. She has to go 6 months, right? So she has to go 6 months without a re-yes dam because it's so unpredictable; it can come at any time. That's an interesting. So, in summary, Rabbi Forrest has this at the end of the chapter: a besul and a zakena don't have to keep a vesheina kavua. But a mubaris and minekas too, so in that way mubaris and minekas are more chamur. But a besula and a zakena can establish a vesus kavua, a mubaris and minekas cannot. And in that way, a besula and a zakena are more chamur than a mubaris and a minekas. And that's all we got for vestos. So Be'ez Hashem, next time we will pick up with chsanim. So that's on Sunday. Kuftzadi. The beginning of Kuftzadi is very, very much the ma'isa. It's a long, long simin. We'll see what we're going to do with it yet. I haven't decided. Rav Schwartz skips all of Kuf Peites and big chunks of Kuf Tzadi. I don't know yet. We're going to spend some time in it because there's a lot of it that is all up to my son. But I'm not sure how much time. Like, I'm not committing a month to Kuf Tzadi. Let's put it that way. Okay. Have a great day, everybody.